how did Luka Doncic slip to the Mavericks in the draft? Because he's insane, like insanely good.
Because he didn't play in the NCAA tournament, basically.
Is that what it is?
Because at 18, being the MVP of EuroLeague, like a real, playing against real men since he was 15, you'd think he should have gone higher. And I'm not one of the people who crushed the Hawks for taking Trae Young and a pick, because we don't know what that pick might be, and we really don't know what Trae Young might be. But Luka slipping at all in the first place, I think, I thought at the time and still think now, is crazy.
And I was shocked, and Ashley and I talked about this. My man Vlade Divac, Luka Doncic's dad, Serbian. I thought it was a perfect fit. Go to Sacramento, and he passed on him. I couldn't believe it. Well, Marvin Bagley might be really good.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to be that guy.
Well, I'll go one step further. His coach is now the coach of the Phoenix Suns.
Right.
And I thought, okay, match made in heaven. Like, who knows him better than his international coach? When the Suns, and Aiden is a nice player, but when the Suns didn't take him one, the rest of the league, I suppose, was like, well, what's up with that, right? So, mm-hmm. so not that the Suns do anything properly, but Vlade surprised me, but the fact that the Suns didn't take him one overall surprised me, or at least trade down and got him at two or three surprised me. But, I mean, we were talking about The Bachelor. Who's going to take Anthony Davis's rose?
Like, that's a great segue.
Who's going to be in it for the right reasons?
Everyone's in it for the right reasons.
Really?
When it comes to Anthony Davis?
Or is it Rich Paul's rose?
Okay, hold on. We all think it's all going to be the Lakers. I think we can agree on that. Or the Celtics.
I think there's no one more upset this morning than the Celtics.
Now, if
there is absolutely no one more upset, because they have every single asset to be able to get him and just have the most appealing offer. But they just can't. They can't make a move unless they get rid of Kyrie, which is something we were talking about before. Is there any chance that that happens? Because, of course, a team can't own designated player rookie extension contracts. They can't own two. They have Kyrie's, so if they got rid of him, they could get AD's.
Yeah, it's the Rose Rule. It's tough to even describe. It's ridiculous. You know who's not getting Anthony Davis? The Boston Celtics. And this is why we know about this right now, because Anthony Davis and really Rich Paul don't want him going there. Danny Ainge has talked kind of reckless about LeBron in the past, talked reckless about LeBron's group, which is Rich Paul and company. And so, to me, this timing now, autumn Monday, they didn't do this Friday before the weekend. They did this on a Monday when all of the shows like this can talk about it. It's like, hey, Lakers, you got 2 weeks for the world to talk about it, for you to get your house in order, because we're not doing this in July because we don't want him going to Boston, even though they have a lot of assets, more assets than the Lakers do, and that would probably be the best trade partner for the Pelicans. To me, this was revenge, a dish best served cold, because I don't think Clutch or really Anthony Davis at this point want him going to Boston, because they've been foes with Danny Ainge from time.
How much control do they have in where he goes? Because obviously a lot of that would be potentially, you know, a contract extension, but he really doesn't have a say where he can go because he has 1 year left on his deal. Why couldn't the Raptors put together a package and grab Anthony Davis on a rental for a year, go try to win a championship, Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard? Damn, I'll take that in a series with the Warriors potentially. Why can't the Raptors put a deal, Jonas, Norm, OG, some picks? Why can't they put something together to make that work and have another rental on this roster and, like, ridiculously go all in?
You started that with how much control do they have, they being Anthony Davis and Rich Paul. 100% of control. And here's why. The Pelicans cannot afford to just give Anthony Davis up for 10 cents on the dollar.
Yes.
It will literally cripple their franchise, one that's on life support to begin with. So they need to get a haul back. They need to get a return back. And for another franchise to give up close to market value, because you're not going to get market value on Anthony Davis, close to it, they got to know that I don't have him just for the remainder of his contract. I can re-sign him. And for that, you need an assurance from Rich Paul and AD that, yeah, you're all in the long term.
Or a sign-in trade of some kind.
Correct. So so I think they have 100% of the control, because if I'm Masai Ujiri, I'm not giving up. Well, I mean, I've already given up some picks. I'm not giving up more picks and Pascal Siakam and OG Anunoby and then AD could leave. I'm already kind of, you know, walking a tightrope because Kawhi might leave.
But why is it such a different situation than we saw last summer with Kawhi?
Nobody knows what Kawhi wants. Kawhi doesn't speak.
Right.
Rich Paul went to Woj and was like, out, deuces.
Like Kawhi has, you know, 1 year left on his deal. He's a free agent. He can go anywhere he wants. He didn't want to come here. Kawhi Leonard didn't want to come to the Raptors. You hear all those reports. He didn't want to come here. It's too cold. He didn't want to come play in Canada.
Yeah, but
he's here.
But Toronto gets him for a full season. Anthony Davis is going to be half a season rental, so it becomes even more so. And you know how much time it takes to acclimate someone into that? Yes, he's a star, but I think that we kind of underestimate the fact that good players can play together, but to actually forge some kind of unwavering chemistry, it takes some time.
Think about it. You're in the case of Kawhi, if we believe that the Lakers are off the table, he doesn't want to play with LeBron, you're really competing with the Clippers, maybe the Nets.
You want to go play in Brooklyn with the Nets?
The Nets are kind of low-key sexy right now, actually.
They've got cap space for two max players. I mean, Brooklyn is nice. They've actually done a nice job with their franchise, considering it was a dumpster fire. Shout out to Sean Marks.
I'd rather play for the Nets than the Knicks right now.
Got a coach that guys in the league respect. They're going to be a playoff team in the East this year. They've somehow revitalized D'Angelo Russell. But still, you're competing against the Clippers, the Nets. You have a year to sell him on everything. Show him, you know, the beautiful BioSteel and take him to the best restaurants in Yorkville. With AD, I mean, you started this with, we all think he's going to the Lakers, right?
Right.
You're competing against the Lakers and Magic and Pelinka and Hollywood and LeBron, who AD wears number 23 because he looked up to LeBron as a kid. He signs with Clutch in the offseason, theoretically, because they're going to bring him to L.A. I just think the chances that you convince AD to stay here from now to the end of this season are a lot slimmer than they would have been with a full year of Kawhi.
And it's too much of a risk in the sense of the narrative's always been it doesn't matter if Kawhi leaves because at least Toronto will still have their depth. They'll still have some young pieces who can keep them competitive-ish in the East. But if you just completely unload your back end for Anthony Davis, then what are you left with? You're starting from scratch.
But why is that the worst?
Why is that the worst? Because then you're starting from scratch again.
But that's fine.
But
isn't
without it? A title?
See, that's the point.
That's the caveat,
Without a title. Because I'm with you, George, if you believe that Anthony Davis and Kawhi and Kyle, assuming he's still on the roster after you trade for AD, and whoever is still on the roster is good enough to beat the Warriors in a 7-game series. If you believe that in your heart of hearts, then yeah, let's do it. Let's go Alex Anthopoulos and put the chips in the middle of the table and forget about what the future might look like. I'm just not sure that core is good enough to beat the Warriors.
Especially with Boogie Cousins coming back and playing the way that he's played.
Listen, I get that, but the Warriors aren't going anywhere for years.
I don't know about that.
You're sure?
Well, Boogie's going somewhere.
Okay, that's
fine.
Unless
he's going to play on a mid-level game.
KD can go somewhere.
Clay said he's already going to stay.
Okay.
But what about Steph Curry?
What about KD and Boogie?
You think KD's going to leave too?
Yeah.
Where's he going to go?
I think there's a strong chance he goes.
Okay, but where is he going to go?
New York.
Either of the New Clippers? York teams?
He's going to go to the. He's going to play for the Clippers.
What?
You honestly don't think he's just going to end up staying in Golden State long term?
And the Knicks?
Listen, I know what
lose?
I know
go
what,
to the Nets.
I know what
if him
I
and Kawhi
would do.
Go to the Nets.
Right. You would stay with the Warriors.
That's me.
Okay, no,
but I also wouldn't fight with people on Twitter.
Right. But
so, like,
with
he's
a different
motivated.
Account.
No. Okay,
differently.
Listen, I get what you're saying, but this is why I would trade Anthony Davis and Kawhi Leonard to get to the NBA Finals for this team being crap for the next 3 or 4 years and just rebuilding and drafting somebody.
Just to the finals, not even winning?
Yeah, it's good enough for me, Ashley. Because right now, are we sure this team can even beat the Celtics in the East?
I think the Bucks are more concerning.
That's what I mean.
Well, with Anthony Davis, I think they could beat the Celtics.
Yeah.
But that's what I mean. With Anthony Davis, they could beat anybody in the East. That's what I'm saying. I would roll the dice and get and lose to an NBA Finals to the Warriors.
And maybe hope someone
the
goes
next
Tanya
three,
Harding
years.
On Steph Curry.
Well, sure. And for the next 4 years, be a bad team and you start building from the draft.
I disagree, because here's why. When the Spurs won their second championship, who did they beat in the finals? None of us know.
The Heat. I don't know.
Nah, I think when they won their last championship, they beat the Heat. None of us know. We forget, other than the trilogy that was Cavs Warriors, a quadrilogy, is that a thing? What is the term for four in a row? Quadrant?
Four.
All right. Other than the four finals in a row.
A quartet.
That the Cavs.
I took grade 10 math twice. I should have known that.
Listen, we forget who loses in the finals. So I'm with Jay-Z.
All we those wouldn't hear.
Rings and things you sing about, bring them out. I need a ring in order for me to mortgage the next 5 to 6 years of my franchise.
But again, but if Pascal Siakam's the centerpiece of the Raptors moving forward, that's just not good enough. And you talk about the Spurs, Donovan, they had one of the greatest players ever played the game on that roster for the entire time he was there. Like in Tim Duncan, like we don't have that here. We have it right now with Kawhi Leonard. And if you can add an Anthony Davis to get to an NBA Finals, I'm worth that. And then you go into the lottery, you go into the draft, and you slowly build the team up again.
I just think the risk is too high relative to the reward. If we're talking about trading for Bradley Beal, who we have under contract for a while, who's been pretty durable, mm-hmm. who is only 25, yep. Then I'm in, right? Because you're mitigating some of the risk because you know the floor of your team right. with Beal moving forward is still going to be pretty good yeah. in the East. If you've got no AD in the future and possibly no Kawhi, the floor is the bottom. And that's what my fear would be.
With an ailing Kyle.
Right. But
if he's around.
But to my point, what would be wrong with that? Why would that be the worst? Because if you look at the East moving forward, if the Celtics make another move, they have all this space, they have all these picks, they're going to be an elite team moving forward. Giannis isn't going anywhere in Milwaukee. The Sixers have two incredible players, and if Ben Simmons can actually figure out how to shoot, that's a team that's not going anywhere. And the Raptors moving forward, if Kawhi leaves and Kyle leaves, you have Pascal Siakam. So what are we trying to do here? Be the seventh or eighth seed in the East and get into the playoffs?
You're assuming that it's everything's best case scenario too, though. Like there's always that one thing with every team where something goes wrong. So you outline the best case scenario for all these teams that can compete in the East, but rarely does everything go according to plan.
No, I get that. But
Pascal Siakam is not a franchise player I want to hang my hat on. No offense to Pascal.
Right. But that's why I'd say you go for it now because you have nothing moving forward.
See, I all those teams and situations have warts. Do the Celtics resign Kyrie, July 1, do they do it long-term? Does that make sense? Does he even want to be there? When Tatum and Brown come up, you can't pay all those guys. They already overpaid for Marcus Smart to come back. The Sixers, what do they do with Jimmy Butler when he's up? Are they going to give him big money? They already have no depth. So I don't think the rest of the East is locked in as these elite teams moving forward. For sure, I actually think that the team with one of the best pathways to success for the next 3 years sustained success would be the Raptors because they're kind of half all in, but they still have some assets moving forward.
But obviously the conversation changes if Kawhi ends up staying. And then here we go. And then potentially you can maybe sign a big time free agent, get deep into the luxury tax. And this ownership can definitely afford to do that. We just haven't seen it yet. Right?
Yeah.
That's best case scenario.
But I think their avenue to bring in high end talent other than Kawhi is still going to be like Kawhi via trade because you can take on deals that people have already signed. Whereas when you're in the straight up free agent market, you're not the home team. You don't have the home team discount. So you aren't able to give the Larry Bird exception and give more years and more money. So then you really, really need to win a free agent's heart at this is the best place for me because I'm going to take less to stay there. Where a guy like Bradley Beal, who's already signed to his big money, if you trade for him and take in the back end of that contract, I think that's a little bit more plausible.
That's Donovan Bennett, the host of Free Association on sportsnet.ca. He does the Sportsnet Wizard, as Ashley Docking calls him. Ashley Docking.
I'm really good at giving nicknames.
Bad. That is pretty good.
Are you? What other nickname have you given?
Well, every time a producer comes on the Sportsnet Tonight Show, we do like a fun bag of questions.
She always goes back to T-Bone.
I've branded every segment pretty much.
Yeah. I'm not sold.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Josh's Goldberg's Golden Nuggets?
Yeah.
Never heard that before. The first time I've ever heard.
Well, thanks for listening.
Yeah.
I know, but if it really caught on, people would be calling him that around here. It would be at the bottom of his email signature. I've never heard that before.
Raptors, moving on. Raptors, Jeff Blair show, by the way. No Jeff Blair, obviously. Raptors lost last, one. It felt like a loss. No, it didn't. They beat the Mavs 123-120. The DeLon Wright thing from Friday is weird to me because Nick Nurse was asked why he didn't play DeLon Wright. And then Nick Nurse says, well, we wanted more size and length. Meanwhile, you had Lowry and Van Vliet out there. Yeah. Like, Nick, why do you got a straight-up lie? Like, why? And then, by the way, that play call, because correct me if I'm wrong, you guys are way more basketball savants than I am. I thought he was supposed to be this play-calling genius / wizard at the end of the game. Like, that's what he came up with. The play in Philadelphia where Kyle is just in the backcourt trying to heave something. Like, these are the plays Nick Nurse is not sleeping, staying up, writing about. Like, that was the best we could do. Like, tell me he has something holstered for the playoffs. Because that end of the game, and they had no business winning that game in Houston, but that play at the end, that was it? A fadeaway contested three from Kawhi?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one, I don't know if the play was executed properly. It looked like Norm was late to come up and set a screen. Pascal almost pushed him to go set that screen. Then you're into the shot clock and Kawhi is just trying to salvage something. But no, I hate in late game situations when you wait until the end of the clock when you're down anyways. It's one thing if the game is tied and you want to give the other team a chance to grab a rebound, call a timeout and get a shot. But when you're down, shoot early. Maybe you get an offensive rebound. Maybe you just get a better look. So I agree the late game execution was not there. The DeLon Wright thing is weird, and Raptors Twitter is going to do this. The conspiracy theories start immediately. You're resting DeLon, because he's on the trading block. He's gone. The trading deadline's, 2 weeks away. Then next night he gets a long run of play, played pretty well. Okay, look, they're showcasing DeLon because they want to trade him, right? Like, everyone has their conspiracy theory no matter what happens. Listen, if there's anyone to be traded off of this team outside from the guys that you want to trade, CJ Miles because he hasn't been good, Norm Powell because he's owed a lot of money, DeLon would be the next guy. So I am here for some of the conspiracy theory, but Nick Nurse has been open with the fact that he's just going to try some stuff that's not necessarily going to make much sense. And to me, I think he's still experimenting.
Okay, well, that's...
I mean, the time for that has come and gone, I think, at this point.
You think?
I think that you need some continuity. And I think that when he says you need people to play themselves in and out of the lineup, I think that you need to have a more solidified rotation. Well, and I do understand in some instances, if you want to play towards your opponent and have a specific game plan, tweak here and tweak there. And I do understand that the 14 starting lineups are a lot due to injury that they've been facing. They've had to move things around. But I think you do need to have some continuity in this group at this point. There's just too much to risk at this point. People need to know where they stand. And I think a lot of times when we see players that are playing outside of themselves, we saw it with Norm, we saw it with CJ earlier this season when his three wasn't dropping, he's trying to take the handle into the paint and stuff. I think that players need to know where they stand in order to be able to maximize their skills.
Well, you mentioned Norm and CJ. Those are guys who, it's not out of the question that they'll be a DNP CD.
For sure.
Night. Not out of the question they play 15 or so minutes in any night. And so if we're talking about DeLon, has DeLon done anything this year that makes him above reproach, that makes him a must play every night? Right. Like, to me, he's not in that conversation because he's been meh.
I think he's been better than meh, but I also think that he's someone who doesn't give you those moments where you're like, oh my God, DeLon, what are you doing? And I think there's something to be said about that, where maybe the positive things that he does are not outstanding, but the negative things that he does are not egregious.
But I thought it was just weird on Friday. It felt weird, especially when Nick Nurse was asked about it, and his answer was super weird as well.